Acts chapter 4. It was 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, we were in Acts chapter 4. And I'm in a series, this is a series on Acts alive and Acts being current and present for us today. And since then, you had a fantastic message, as I referred a few moments ago, from Pastor Sherry about Jesus bearing our iniquities and about us bearing one another's burdens. And then last week, Rick Grunewald talked about we are charged with a purpose. Now, 3 weeks ago, I was speaking about fresh filling. And I got through the first of 2 points. One was right hearts. The first point was right hearts and having a heart united in one accord with one another. That then leads, secondly, to prayer that God hears. And our right relationships with one another gives us an ability to bring forth prayer that God hears. And if you recall, the disciples who had been arrested and threatened had, when they were released, first of all, gone back to those who were there, the scripture says, companions. Remember that? Acts chapter 4, they ran right back to their companions. And then they gave a report about the things that had happened to them. And then they immediately went to prayer together. Close companions who stand closer than a brother, who stand together, companioning together, bearing one another's burdens, as Pastor Sherry referred this morning, to reading the website so we can keep track of the progress. We are daily interested in what's happening to our friends who are on a royal journey. And then we also talked about how when we go through the circumstances that are difficult sometimes, sometimes we just plain need to know that the Lord sees. Remember their prayer is, Lord, see their threatenings. Hear what they're doing. And Lord, see it. Just see it. And sometimes we need to know that God is right there with us in the midst of a difficult time and that He sees it. Now, Sunday mornings and Thursday nights, we gather together because we're hungry for Jesus. Anybody in this room hungry for Jesus? No, I said, are you really hungry for Jesus? That's why we gather. To see Him, to know Him, to hear Him, to walk with Him, to be changed. How many come to church to be changed? I'm not talking about babies and diapers. I'm talking about people changing to be more like Him than ever before. And then we grow and we hear, we learn, we're taught, and then we carry Him forth into the mission field, right? We came to this neighborhood to be a... Up and down these roads, there are people that need Jesus. Throughout this community, there are hundreds, several thousand, that need Jesus. And we need Jesus in, on the Olympic Peninsula, and we need Jesus in Washington State, we need Jesus in the United States, we need Jesus surely in Washington, D.C., don't we? We need Jesus. Too often, we lose sight of the majors for the minors. We lose sight of the purpose for why we gather. But what a powerful witness there is when there's a church of people who stand together, who are united together, who companion together, bearing one another's burden in love and witness. One of the neatest things that happened the last couple of weeks was when I brought my brother up to see the facility here, and I came up and there were some other people who were gathered here, and I may have told several of you this story, but as we came up and walked up to their little circle, we overheard them saying, this is the neatest group of people. They get together and they work so hard together. And look what they're doing. Look what God is doing through a group of people. I think this place looks better than it did last December, don't you? It does. And we're going to keep on changing and keep on growing. And a building is only the expression of what people have in their hearts. But together we stand and together we bring forth a witness. We bring forth a witness. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, 23 through 31. And let's see how the disciples lived that witness, and as they did, what happened to them. Acts 4, 23 through 31, similar scriptures to where I was before. And being let go, they went to their own companions. Not similar, the same scriptures. They went to their own, say the word with me, companions, and reported all. First they went to their companions, secondly they reported. And they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, what did they do, number three? They raised their voices to God with one accord, not my son's Honda, but with one accord, with one heart, one spirit. They brought their burden to the Lord, and they said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why do the nations rage? The people plot vain things. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together. Now I want you to see who they're gathered together against. Against, say it with me, the Lord, and against his. Against, excuse me, against the Lord and against his Christ. Against the Lord and against his body. Against his anointed ones on the earth. The people that gather together, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There is a spiritual attack. There is a spiritual warfare that is going on in the world today. There is an ideological battle. There is a moral battle. There are ideologies that clash. There are realities of truth and darkness that clash. And when you're sharing Jesus sometimes, or you're just living your life, and somebody comes up and rashly or irrationally rather attacks you and rips you apart, you need to understand the enemy is gathered against the Lord and his Christ. The anointed ones, the ones of the body of Christ who are here anointed by his Spirit, representing Jesus, are people that come under attack sometimes for their faith. Now we should make sure that the attack we come under is for our faith, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? Come on, church. Are you here this morning? We should make sure it's under attack for our faith and not for our being bums ourselves, right? But there is an attack that takes place. So what do we do against it? We come to God together. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all what? Come on, all. Say it one more time. Let me just bowl me over. With all, they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was what? It was, come on, say it again loudly, it was shaken. God did something demonstrable. There was something powerful. There was something that took place when the people of God united in one accord, one heart, one mind, one spirit, taking their burdens together to the Lord. God moved on those people. And these were people who had been arrested for their faith. Now, they didn't gather together and pray, oh, Lord, protect us. Just let us hold on to our own little private little preservation. Oh, God, I can barely hang on until the end. I don't know if I'm going to make it. That wasn't their prayer. Their prayer was, Lord, move, that we might have boldness to speak your word. Move spiritually, move dynamically, move supernaturally. Lord, change this place and let Jesus be lifted up. Shine, Jesus, shine through us. That's an assertive song. That's a song that says, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to carry this message. When I go out those doors, there's a mission field, and I'm going to carry this message out there. I'm not just going to come to church, get comfortable, and go live comfortable. I'm going to go carry this message of Jesus forward to people that need him. Are you surrounded by people that need him? In your block, your neighborhood, people you've worked with, even some who call themselves Christians. We need to bring forth his light. The place was shaken. And they were all, notice, filled with the Holy Spirit. I thought they'd already been filled with the Holy Spirit. Gee, you think they ever need anything fresh? Do you? Do you ever need a fresh filling from the Lord? Amen. And then what happened? God answered their prayer, didn't he? And they spoke the word of God with... I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Spoke the word of God with boldness. Be bold. Look at each other. Say, be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Can you say that? For the Lord thy God is with thee. See, that sounds like a song we're probably going to do at the end of the message. Be bold. Be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee.
Amen. Do you know that?
Zephaniah, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will sing. He will rejoice over you with joy. He's singing over you. And we get down in the dumps and we think God forgets us. He's singing over you this morning. He's got joy in you this morning. That's what the Bible says. We need to rehearse a little bit what the Bible says at times, don't we? Because sometimes it doesn't feel that way. All right, these people were quick to pray. The thing I want to ask you is this. If God is not big enough or good enough to go to when you have a need, who are you going to go to? Who are you going to go to? If your need is bigger than God, who do you have left to go to? Nobody. Who did you say? What?
John Kerry.
Well, there's a political statement. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, the truth is, God's bigger even than George Bush. God's bigger than Ronald Reagan, or than he was. God's bigger than the Republicans and Democrats. God's bigger than the Republicrats. God's bigger. Who are you going to go to if you can't go to God? But we've got to come to him and know that he's there. Come on, say with me. He rejoices over me with singing. Say it again. He rejoices over me with singing. I wonder what kind of song he's singing right now. Got to work a little on your faith there, Bert. I was going to say, you know, maybe he's doing a polka over you. You know, no, that couldn't be. Well, what kind of song is he singing? He's singing songs of love, and he's singing songs of his equipping, and you are his, and he loves you, and he cares. That's what the Bible says. So when you're down in the dumps this week, you need to stop and quote that scripture. He rejoices over me with singing. I wonder what that means. So if I can believe that, the scripture says, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now, I understand. I'm just going to be folks with you here for a few moments, okay? I understand what it's like to wonder whether or not God really is that God who rewards those who diligently seek him. I understand what it's like to wonder if he is. I don't know, Royal and Dan out there on the boat still, I don't know if maybe sometimes in the middle of the night when you weren't just chatting and encouraging each other in faith, when the next engine goes out or the shaft, you feel shafted again, I wonder if every now and then there might be a little discouragement that says, I wonder if God really sees. I wonder if he really knows. God, do you really, you know, when you're in Portland and your kids and your one child flies all the way across from D.C. and you're rallying together as a family and you're hurting and you look at each other and go, is God really there? Does he really see? When disciples who had given their entire lives to walk passionately with this Messiah, the one whom they thought was the Messiah, and then he was beaten and taken from them, crucified on a cross, I wonder if they ever had a twinge of a moment where they said, God, are you really there? Sometimes we wonder. When our circumstances don't go well and the things we think are going to work don't, we sometimes wonder, God, are you really there? Church, one of the reasons we get together is to encourage each other that indeed he is. He's still there. He's still God. Whether you feel him tangibly or not, and I will tell you real honestly, I like to feel the presence of God. I like to sing songs and worship and not lose my place. I like to have everything go well in a worship service where I just play every chord and sing every word right so you can just follow me. That doesn't happen all the time. I like to feel the presence of God. Sometimes I don't. What do we do then? We keep going. We keep encouraging each other. We nurture each other in faith. We get together like this on Sunday morning, and I see your radiant countenance, and I have my friends come up and say, just wanted to encourage you, brother. He's still there, and he's still God. He's still alive. We share the need, we share the problem, we share the trouble, we encourage each other. Frankly, Thursday nights we have a chance even to do that in a smaller, more intimate setting where we pray for one another. We spend a few more minutes in prayer together on Thursday night when there's a need, because we need to be able to gather in a different format where somebody can share their heart and somebody can come open up their life and others can surround them. And you can bring the thing God's shown you during the week and come into a group of friends and say, can I share this? You bet. That's what it's all about, being family who encourages each other. They got together with their companions and quickly prayed. Now, that's the other thing. They prayed quickly. First thing out of their mouths. You see it, the scripture almost, like they almost didn't have chance to get it all out of their mouth. Being let go, they went to the companions, reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God in one accord. You know, that's what we need to do quicker for one another. When we hear the problem and we're concerned and you bring a need to me, we need to stop each other on the phone or in the conversation and say, come on, let's pray right now. Sometimes the very best thing you can do, because sometimes we don't feel like we can really answer the need, but the very best thing you can do is go together to the one who can. I don't always have the answers. Sometimes I feel bankrupt when it comes to a need for an answer. I wish I could just make everything better for everybody all at once, and I can't. I wish I could. But sometimes what I can do is put an arm around you and say, I love you, and I stand with you. Come on, let's pray. Because the one who does have your answer still loves you. We need to look at each other this week and remind each other, hang in there, he's singing over you. And he's got a good voice. He's got a good voice. Problems come against us. The scripture shows us that these people, the Greek literally says they raged against the people of God. That Greek word is phroso, and it means literally to snort as a spirited horse, to make a tumult. These people were snorting and tumulting against God's people. Come on, have you ever felt like that's happened in your life? Whether it's circumstances or literal people, you got a tumult coming against you. How do you get through this thing? How do you get through it? It's a pain and it's a problem. You get together with your companions and say, I don't know how to get through it. Would you please stand with me in the tumult and in the rage? People get mad at you for your faith. The scripture indicates that there's an imagination. They think things against the people of God. Have you ever had people come and attack you based on presumption and assumption that you did something that you really didn't do? Come on, anybody in this room ever been accused of something you didn't do? Well, don't look so noble. Ever? It hurts, doesn't it? Do you know what happens when people are like that? Here's what happens. There is a seed of a thought, and the devil will use this. There's a seed of a thought that gets in their head about you or about a person of faith, whatever it might be. The people who assume and presume incorrectly, a thought comes in, and it comes back over and over and over and over. And maybe the first couple of times they might be successful at shutting the door to the thought, but then they start to open it, and then it grows, and it grows. And pretty soon you are guilty of the thing they think you're guilty of. We get mad at those people. We get hurt by those people. Do you know they need deliverance? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The enemy does this, and he uses it to divide people right in the body of Christ. People jump to wrong conclusions. Let's be those who do not. What am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about standing together in prayer, just like the disciples did. It was tough. They were commanded not to speak the name of Jesus. Sometimes they were beaten. They were thrown in jail just because they loved Jesus. You know, which one was it? Was it Nero? who burned the Christians at the stake, set the city on fire, and then burned the Christians at the stake, used them as his night torches because he blamed the Christians for it. But they knew, people ultimately in history knew full well that he had done it himself. And what was it? Isn't the old phrase that the city burned while he played his fiddle? And they burned the Christians at the stake. Did the Christians deserve that? Of course not. Okay, life is sometimes difficult. But what do? They get together and they say, Lord, behold their threatenings. See it. Behold their menacings. Okay, what happens though? Okay, so they come together, one heart, one mind, one relationship. They come together and pray. They bear one another's burdens. They encourage each other in the Lord. And then together they go to God. Now, how did God answer that fantastic prayer? With a fantastic answer and spirit of boldness. A spirit of boldness. The boldness that came upon them is the Greek word paresia, and it's like paresia, and it means, it literally means all outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, publicity. Here were these disciples in a fledgling body of Christ who were threatened, sometimes beaten, thrown in jail because they just wanted to tell people about Jesus. And so what did they do? They got together and said, Lord, please grant us boldness. So we don't get intimidated and walk away from shining our faith. So we don't get intimidated by people in Port Ludlow who may be richer than we are, who might have a nicer house than we do, who might want to keep Jesus over in a little corner. So we don't get intimidated by people who aren't even interested in God at all. Maybe they got their yacht together. Maybe they got their clothes together. Maybe they got their cars together. And you feel intimidated when in reality, you've got their very answer for living. And for eternity. Grant boldness, Lord, that I might not back away when it comes time to share with them. Webster's 1828 identifies boldness as freedom from timidity, confidence, confident trust. Lord, give me the confidence to preach your word. Give me confidence to be a status quo buster. Come on, say status quo buster. Status quo buster. That's what you are as Christians. You bust in on the status quo. You bring Jesus and his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Help me not shrink back, not to be embarrassed, not to be ashamed. Together, united in heart, in mind, and in ministry, we bring the mission of God to this earth. You know my prayer? God, pack this place with hungry people. Pack it to overflowing so we have to take down walls with people who come and discover they need Jesus. And let them get saved, Lord. Let them get baptized in the Spirit. Let them get planted in the body of Christ. Let's just pack this place up with people who need Jesus. And Lord, while you're at it, pack out every Bible-believing church. And let there be revival that comes, and let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God, don't pass us over. I don't know about you, but I just so hungry to see God move in a real way. I don't want to miss God's next steps. I want to be a part of what he's doing, don't you? God, give us boldness. You know, sometimes we get comfortable and we watch people and we pray for our brothers and sisters to have boldness while we watch them go out and share with people about Jesus. There are people all around who need the Lord. You know what? Let me just give you a real practical thing this morning. If you're troubled with thoughts, if you're troubled with problems, if you're troubled with things that bog you down, do you know one of the best antidotes? Get your hands full of ministry to other people. Get your hands full of ministry to other people. Get a spiritual life and get a quickening and go out and share with people about Jesus and start to meet their needs and boldly speak his word. Invite them to church. Pray for their healing. Pray for their life. You want a ministry? Look all around you. There are people all around you dying and on the way to hell that need your ministry in Jesus. They need you to bring them the message. It's been a joy. Frankly, it's been a delight. Listen to Pastor Carl talk about becoming and the Lord beginning to open doors as a chaplain to the law enforcement people in this community. Hey, 6 months ago, that wasn't a functioning ministry. Right now, it is. Right now, God's throwing doors open and people are being open to it. And look at what God's doing. He's creating something brand new. There are people that need him on the police departments and the sheriff department that need him to bring forth life in Jesus. You know what that means? That means when he walks in the door, they know that the presence of God walked in the door. Isn't that fantastic? Helps keep you on your toes, doesn't it? Yeah, okay. But you know, God's opening doors. What doors will the Lord open for you this week? I'm convinced. Before I came here to preach this morning, I believe the Lord dropped into my spirit that each one of us, if we'll be sensitive this week, God will give you an opportunity right in front of you if you will choose to take it. Either to share Jesus with somebody, invite them to church, do something to get out of your comfort zone, to enter into their world and minister, whether it's a prayer for healing, prayer for life, whatever it is. Obey the Spirit of God when he gives you that opportunity, because he's going to give you that opportunity this week. Let's get beyond ourselves and reach out. And look what happened. Boldness came upon them to speak his word, to utter forth his words. And then more confirmation. There were, Lord, let there be boldness in healings and in signs and wonders. Lord, we'll work together with you to boldly share your word. We'll do our part, but oh God, do your stuff too. Do the stuff that only you can do. Let people get saved and let people be delivered and let people be healed. Show yourself to them. And then the scripture tells us something fantastic. The place is literally shaken. Come on, shake. Come on, shake. Come on, look at each other. Shake. The place was shaken by the Spirit of the Lord. That means, now listen to the Greek word. That may have been a little silly thing, but I tried to do a few things upon occasion to give you something to remember. That place being shaken, the Greek word is saluo, and it means it was agitated, it was rocked, and it was toppled. They toppled the spirit of the enemy by the boldness of the Spirit of the Lord. That place was agitated. That place was rocked. That place was disturbed. That place was incited by the presence of Jesus. You know what God's saying? He brought you here to shake up the enemy's camp. Do you believe that? Come on, do you believe that? I'm an enemy shaker. Can you say that? By the hand of Jesus. Holy boldness. The scripture says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Fresh filling. Folks, we need a fresh filling. Don't live on yesterday's bread. It's not good enough to say I got saved 30 years ago, but I'm alive in the Spirit of God today. I'm alive with the Spirit of the Lord, and God's filling me again, and I got a prayer language, but he gave me a brand new prayer language today, and I'm going to lift my voice and worship it. I don't care if it's uncomfortable. I'm just going to worship God. Who's going to join me? Who? Shake up the enemy's camp. Don't eat yesterday's bread. The question I've got for you is, at what point do you say enough? At what point do you want to say enough? You want to come to church, get entertained on Sunday morning, sing a couple songs, but don't bug me for anything more? You want to get saved, but don't get me into the waters of baptism. Don't even talk to me about it, and certainly don't talk to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or how about, I'm getting water baptized, just don't bug me with tongues. Don't bug me with that stuff. Or how about, okay, I'll do all that stuff, but just surely don't push me to go out and share Jesus with anybody. That's right. I'm not going to stand here next Sunday with a little notch. You know, come on in, click, click. How many did you share with this week? Click, click. I'm not going to do that to you. I'll let the Holy Spirit do that. But you know, at what point do you say enough? When you take a look at the disciples, they never said enough. They didn't. They gave their life to a man they did not understand, to walk in a walk they did not know where it was heading, in order to bring a kingdom that had never been on earth before, and at no point did they say enough. At what point is it enough? Enough! I don't want to grow anymore! Enough! Don't bug me! At what point? Hopefully at no point. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, keep holy disturbing me. Let there be holy disturbances so I keep growing. That's not a good prayer, is it? Lord, keep me growing, but do it nicely, okay? Keep me growing, but do it with no sweat. Yeah, come on. Haven't you? You're all looking so pious. Haven't you ever prayed like that? Lord, I want to go on with you. Please make it easy. I want to grow. I don't want any more turmoil in my life. I just want to keep on growing. I'll respond always. How many of you understand sometimes it takes a little turmoil in our life to get us growing again? Turmoil produces patience and, you know, tribulation, all that kind of stuff. It's not easy stuff. But the Lord knows what it takes to help us grow. The question is, do you want to keep growing? I do. So, Lord, give us boldness. Keep us growing. Keep us shining even more than ever before. Amen.